When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
What's your big takeaway from Tuckaway? What's your big take?
Justin Tuck? Is he back on our team? Is he back with us?
What is your big takeaway from Monday Night Football? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Is Lamar Jackson the best player in the NFL right now? If not, then who? We've talked about a lot so far. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Good morning, guys.
Does my quarterback ranking suck?
Yeah.
Right. Key gave a ranking. Let me tell you who wasn't on Key's rankings of the best top 10 quarterbacks. Derek Carr was 10, but who was not on the list? Dak Prescott. He's been hurt. Who was not on the list?
Tua.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua, not Dak.
He has the best QBR by a lot in the NFL through week three. He has beaten Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Bill Belichick. Let me tell you who's not on the list.
Hold on, Max. Can we just
double down on Tua? Hold on. Kyler Murray. I want to go through the names first. Kyler Murray's not on the list, Jay. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson's not on the list. Well, that's four right there, Jay.
I'm just talking about.
I don't like any of those guys.
As it relates to how guys have played through three games this season, Tua, completion rate, 11.5 points higher than your guy, Derek Carr. Yards, he's thrown for pretty much 72 more yards. Touchdowns, he's thrown for two more touchdowns. Interceptions, he's thrown for two less. And his QB rating is 40 points higher.
40 points higher. Key?
Because he's one team is 0-3 and one team is 3-0. It just sounds like my
Key,
man
will you
has
admit
a little
that Derek Carr,
for Tua and a dog. Just say it.
Derek Carr is like a pet player of yours. The way like Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow are for me. I love those. Whatever it is, I love those guys. You love Derek Carr.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I like Derek Carr. I like Tom Brady. I like Aaron Rodgers. I like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. I like all those. Lamar Jackson. I like all those guys.
I don't
guys.
Feel like More Derek Carr's like in that Tua. Conversation.
More than you like Kyler. More than you like Russell Wilson.
Well, first of all, the list isn't based on the three games. Because the list was based on the three games, there's a lot of guys that wouldn't be on the list.
Right.
It's based on the top quarterbacks that I see in the National Football League. Tua has done an amazing job in Miami. You can't take that away from him, Max. He's done a good job.
I'm not trying to.
No, I'm saying in general. I'm not saying you. Yeah. I'm just saying you can't take it away from him. He's done an amazing job. He's just not one of my top 10 quarterbacks. I'm not basing – look, if I was drafting, all those other guys are going in front of him. Every last one.
Is Derek Carr going in front of – here's one – Trevor Lawrence. I'll take Trevor Lawrence before I take Derek Carr, and I like Derek Carr.
I haven't seen enough of Trevor Lawrence.
He's tall. He has the hair.
He's what they want in a quarterback, right?
This to me is
And he's a family guy.
Family guy goes to church, I'll bet you.
This to me is Key doubling down. Last year, he said that Derek Carr was elite.
Yep.
It got put out into the ethos.
First of all, I've never said he was elite. Stephen A. said he was elite.
And I said
I like Derek Carr. I never said he was elite, Jay. But don't put words in my mouth.
You just put him in the same breath with Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen. Why are you getting mad at me? You're the one that put him in that same sentence.
What do you notice about Kyler Murray?
All I'm saying, if there's a proclivity for Derek Carr, that's fine.
Double down with it.
You're staying with it. I'm proud
Jay,
of you.
Jay, what do you notice about Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, and Tua Tagovailoa? What do they all have in common that Derek Carr does not?
Shorter.
Yes, he likes tall quarterbacks.
I like
Jalen Hurts.
You do, because Jalen Hurts.
I like Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts is killing it every single way you can kill it. And also,
like
Jalen Hurts is a little taller than those guys.
Coach,
a little bit.
Six one and a half. I like Jalen Hurts before Jalen Hurts even stepped on the field.
That's true. He's 6'1".
I'm beating the drum for Jalen Hurts when he was at Alabama.
If Jalen Hurts is 5'11", we're not hearing the same thing out of you.
No, that's not true.
Well,
because if Jalen Hurts was doing dynamic things.
Okay, fine. But my point is to be a
Don't be okay finding me.
Wait, no. To be a quarterback that Key will put on the list, you have to be killing it if you're under 6'2".
So
killing it.
I guess the question
Tua's not killing it right now.
I guess the question would be
come on.
Am I biased against taller quarterbacks?
Or taller quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Pro, yeah.
I like to be able to see the ball come out.
That's like saying I like tall centers in the NBA.
I like what I like.
Yeah.
Center is no longer.
Tua is going to be okay, but I'm not putting him where Jay got him.
Where do I have him? I don't even have a list.
Greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah, that's where I have him.
You got him better than Dan Marino.
This is better than the undefeated Dolphins team. Yeah, you're right, guys. Keep doubling down on
him. He is leading the league in QBR by a lot.
Thank you.
I'm not doubling down on it. If you like numbers, you like all the numbers, the statistics, you ran them off. And I know you watched the game. I know you watched the games. But from the beginning of the season to past Sunday, when I look at all the snaps he's taken, there's a lot of stuff that could have gone wrong. It's a whole bunch of stuff could have gone wrong. When I'm watching.
He's in a very good situation as an excellent offensive mind at head coach and receiver.
How about the stuff that did go wrong for Derek Carr? So we're going to hold it against people for the stuff that could have gone wrong, but we're not going to hold it against the people where the stuff did go wrong.
Accurate. Accurate. Wait, what you're saying.
Is that
accurate.
What we're saying?
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Key,
so when you have Devontae Adams, when you have
I'm not
talent,
saying that, Jay. Miami Dolphins are a better football team than the Raiders.
On paper, you would say heading into the season?
Oh, 100%.
Because I thought, I'll tell you the truth.
They are a better football team going into the season. Didn't know much about the coach, but as a team,
I thought Miami was probably the second best team in the division, and the Raiders were the fourth best team in their division. But I thought the Raiders were in a much better division.
No, third best team in their division. I thought going into the season, but what I would say was when you look at the Miami Dolphins from a year ago when Flores, the defense was always lights out.
Yeah, they have a good
defense. Was lights
they
out.
They went and got the left tackle from the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. They went and got Tyreek Hill, Cedric Wilson. They are a much better team. Mm-hmm. Much better team.
Well, I mean, the Raiders picked up help on the defensive side, help on the offensive side.
Up,
they won eight
they
games
up
last
old
year.
Old Chandler
they got the
Jones.
Best receiver in
they
the
have
game.
No
they got the best receiver
got the
in
best
football.
Receiver in the game who's not even being targeted as much as he should be. It's
I don't
an
know
ongoing
that
conversation.
It's,
I'm just slicing and
you,
dicing you
it's
right
who
now.
You,
I'm
who's
just
who
cutting
you?
You up real quick. Pop, 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 pop.
It's who you want to be the best receiver in the game. Is it Tyreek Hill? Is it Devontae Adams? Is it a healthy Michael Thomas? Is it Stephon Diggs?
I would say let's put it this way. If Tyreek Hill.
You look at numbers, Jay.
But,
I'm not looking at statistics.
I've heard you say that Devontae Adams
is
the best receiver in the game.
Quick
before.
Thought experiment, Jay. I think you'll like it. If Tyreek Hill were on Vegas and Devontae Adams were on Miami, I think Vegas still got no wins and Miami's still killing the game.
Probably.
Okay, but if a quarterback takes the credit, they got to get some blame, too.
He does get blame. He threw three interceptions against the Chargers, and they lost by four. I think it was 4 points they lost by, less than a touchdown. They could have won that game if he don't throw three picks. He didn't throw three picks against Arizona, and they should have won the game.
Sure.
He didn't really throw one against Tennessee. The damn Waller catch the ball.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, don't look at the statistics.
I hear you. I'm not putting Derek Carr ahead of Russell Wilson. I'm not putting him ahead of Kyler Murray. I'm not putting him ahead of Dak Prescott. I'm not putting him ahead of Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
I'm not putting ahead of Tua Tagovailoa. I got five guys.
I'm with you, and I watch the games. Like we're up talking all day on Sunday. Granted, that I might be slightly different than the guys who played the game for 10-plus years, but you could see talent. It may not be the talent that jumps off the page that is a dynamic quarterback like a Lamar Jackson or a Jalen Hurts that gives you that feeling, but there is talent there.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that talent gets glossed over a lot of times because it doesn't look like the others.
Key's top 10. He got everyone's going to agree on nine names. Lamar, Mahomes, Rodgers, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford. People are going to leave them alone. The question is in that 10th slot, who do you like? Derek Carr, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray. I think Trevor Lawrence now, considering his draft position, has something to do with it, but also the way he's looking now and his talent. You know, and there
small,
are one or two others.
Small. Too small.
Who's that?
The sample size.
Yeah.
So why
Trevor Lawrence is too small.
Why is Jalen Hurts above Joe Burrow?
I'm
just
so
curious.
Far this year he's outplaying him.
But we're not just doing it based upon this year. I'm trying to understand the reasoning. So if we're not doing it based upon this year, if we're doing it for the entire body of work, even though the O-line has had
issues. I like Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, yeah.
I ain't never been no Joe Burrow. Am I right?
Yeah.
I ain't never been you and Max jumping on the Joe Burrow mink coat.
I love
gold chain glasses.
Like Joe
Burrow.
National title MVP. Joe Burrow.
Quarterback.
I love
There's
him.
There's no question about it. But I ain't been one with the pom-poms on.
I have the pom-poms.
I ain't going to play that game.
He has the pom-poms for Derek Carr. Yeah. I got the pom-poms for Joe Burrow.
I got the pom-poms for Aaron Rodgers. I got the pom-poms for Patrick Mahomes.
I got the pom-poms for Lamar Jackson. I got the pom-poms for
that cyborg from the future that was invented beat Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, he is.
At the end of the day, I was on Josh Allen, those guys last year. I was all for it, still with it this year.
If you could only claim one guy that's the pom-pom guy in the NFL, who would it be? Which quarterback would be your
Josh
pom-pom
Allen.
Guy? When it comes down to it, Josh Allen?
Yeah. Oh, Aaron Rodgers. It's not even close.
You know who mine is when it comes down to
Aaron
it?
Aaron Rodgers, really? Man, Aaron Rodgers, you almost made me cuss, Jay.
No.
You know who it is to me when it comes down to it?
We've been through the roller coaster of Aaron Rodgers over the past year and a half.
Who do you think it is, Jay?
I've never been through the roller coaster. I don't care about the off-the-field nonsense. That dude can blink and play.
I'm with you.
Okay, Jay, real quick. Let's see how well you know me, because Brandon Jacobs is waiting. Who do I have the pom-poms for if I have to pick one?
Daniel Jones.
Justin Herbert.
Nope. You're wrong. See, you don't know me. Who do I have the pom-poms for, y'all? There's one guy. If I had to choose one guy, he's riding with Rodgers. You're riding with Josh Allen. I'm riding with Patrick Mahomes all day. Mahomes. Brandon Jacobs, former New York Giants running back, two-time Super Bowl champion, is with us now. Brandon, what do you think about last night?
Well, you know, Max, it is a whole lot I could say. But at the end of the day, Dallas defensive line, they got after Daniel Jones. The man got sacked six times, had 23, 24, 25 pressures. We just couldn't block them up front on D-line. They pinned their ears back, and they just came. And it was nothing we could, you know, we could have done about it. Everybody wanted to point the finger and blame Daniel Jones for everything, because that's the easiest thing that you can do is blame the quarterback, you know, for the success of the team.
In this case, I don't think he
played bad.
Hey, Brandon, it reminded me for Evan Neal, who I think might be good one day, right? But it reminded me of the Winston Justice game against OC. When OC just ate his lunch all day, he's a rookie. He got no wins against a pass rusher like that. Man, he was lining up against Parsons and DeMarcus. It's too much for a rookie, and he just got abused, and that was really the game.
Max, at the end of the day, the guy's a top five draft pick or whatever he got picked or whatever slot he got drafted in. They drafted him to do a job. You know, these quarterbacks that get drafted number one overall that goes into the NFL and stink it up, you know, they blame them. So, hey, he got to be able to have thick skin and take the blame. He got his butt kicked.
Yep.
And there's no two, three, four ways around it. It was one way around it. Physicality, off the line, the scrimmage, and that's what happened.
Brandon Jacobs, former NY Giant Super Bowl champion, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Brandon, I wanted to ask you about this offense for a second, because last night while watching the game, and it's been very noticeable over the last three games, even though Wink Martindale's done a good job with the defense, even though last night was not the case, but it seems very one-dimensional. You know it's coming with the offense. Saquon Barkley run or Daniel Jones finding a way to get out of pocket, tucking it, and running too. What's going on with the wide receiving core?
You know, it's a great question. I'm here. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with Kenny Galladay. I've been trying to figure this out for the last 2 weeks now. I don't know what's wrong. I haven't seen much. I know Tony's been banged up from, you know, a little hamstring he had in training camp. I don't know. I have no idea. I wish I could answer the question for you. I wish we had more wide receiver play, you know, take some pressure off of Saquon and you know, make Daniel Jones' job a little easier. I mean, the guys he's throwing to, man, no one's, you know, not too many people, you know, has ever heard of him. You know, I think Richie's pretty good. But at the end of the day, man, you need a core, the wide receiver group, and you need that one bell cow. We don't have that.
I mean, Galladay's getting outplayed by rookie tight ends right now. Come on.
Brandon Jacobs, former New York Giant running back, two-time Super Bowl champion, joins us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, of course. Brandon, wouldn't you look at this and say that this is a evaluation year for the new regime, opposed to really trying to make some hay in the NFC East? Just evaluate guys, see who could fit with you long term.
For a new regime that only have a few draft picks out there, from when they were hired, yes, Keyshawn, I would definitely agree with that. Which is why you don't see a lot of the guys out from the old regime. You don't see Galladay. The only one you really see, is Daniel Jones, and who knows if the new regime really likes him. But they drafted him number 6 overall. They gave Galladay $72 million. So what are you going to do in that situation? They got the team held up, give me everything you got type thing. So, but it is good I think they are trying to evaluate new talent. And I'm trying to see what we're going to come up with. But we got to do something up front, because we cannot continue to get our butts kicked. Like we got our butts kicked up front last night.
10 years going now. 10 years going since they had an offensive line.
Brandon, what do you think about the division overall? Is this the Eagles' division to lose?
Oh, I would definitely say it's the Eagles' division to lose. I mean, I thought the Giants was going in the right direction, which I think they are still going. I mean, they still show some flashes and some are doing some things. I don't think the defense played that bad. They gave up a couple key plays during the game, and the Giants got a lot of big plays called back with just stupid penalties. I would say it's not wide open. It's the Eagles number one and number two, and then everybody else at the rest of the numbers. But I think the Eagles really going, I think they're going to run away with the division. It's a really good football team. They play good offense, good defense. They play great on special teams, obviously, because you can't give up kickoff and kickoff returns now because everything is a touchback. But I think I think the Eagles are definitely the best team out there.
Hey, talking to Brandon Jacobs here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. Brandon Jacobs, of course, used to call him the juggernaut, New York radio during the Super Bowl days, won 2 Super Bowls, punished defenses. Brandon, he was talking earlier, because what I didn't like about the game, really the main thing I didn't like, is in the moment of truth, when the defense had to step up at the end of the game, they got gashed every way possible, on the ground, in the air, by everybody. And I hate to say it because they played with character early in the game. It was like, I need to see more character at the end of the game. And Key was like, because you need that essentially captain of the defense, that energizer bunny on defense. Now, to me, a guy like, Blake Martinez, someone like that who's, a couple years ago, some kind of guy. Thibodeau was brought in to be the pass rusher. He finally got on the field. What did you think?
We had no pass rush last night, Max. I don't know. We had no pass rush. Cooper Rush actually stood in the pocket, baked cakes, knit blankets, and then threw a pass. We had no pass rush. If we could have put some pressure on Cooper Rush, a guy who's coming to starting in place of Dak, if we'd have put some pressure on him, I think he would have made a few mistakes. But we didn't put any pressure on him. He sat back there. He made the throws he wanted to read. He had a first read, second and third. And sometimes he hit the third read without even taking a few, more than one step, So we didn't have any pass rush.
Yeah, Thibodeau, someone needs to step up. Someone needs to step up on this defense.
Absolutely.
No, no question about it. The Giants will be okay. I know we talking Giants football, but look, check this out, though, Brandon. So I'm in here with Max and Jay, and I got this top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL list that I put out. And at the top is Lamar Jackson at number one and Derek Carr at 10. And then obviously the usual suspects, the Patrick Mahomes is and the Josh Allen's, and those guys are all in between, sandwiched between them. And they have a problem with me having Derek Carr at number 10 because I don't have Tua, I don't have Kyler Murray, I don't have
Russell Wilson,
Trevor Lawrence and Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. They don't like Derek Carr. They think Derek Carr is hot garbage.
No, we think he's okay. I think Derek Carr is solid, man.
Okay.
I was just saying, Brandon, based upon the way he's played thus far this season and the way Tua, who has the best QBR in the NFL and actually leads the NFL in passing yards, them being 3-0, like just saying he deserves to be in that top 10 slot over Derek Carr right now.
What do you think, Brandon?
Trevor Lawrence. I got to go with Trevor Lawrence. Okay. Trevor Lawrence, bad Jacksonville football team, and they're putting up numbers. The guy doesn't turn the football over. He's doing a really good job of taking the team from 6 feet under and trying to bring them up to the top. So I got to go with Trevor Lawrence in that number 10 spot.
So let's say
you might be right. I haven't seen enough of him. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna sit up and lie and say, oh, I watched every game. He's every snap. I just haven't seen enough of him.
Let's take him away, therefore. If Trevor Lawrence didn't exist or you haven't seen enough, Brandon, or would you have Derek Carr 10? Or would it be Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, or Tua Tagovailoa 10?
Well, I got to go with Tua. I got to go with Tua because watching what he did, the guy's been putting up a lot of numbers the last 3 weeks. And standing there against a great Buffalo defense like he did last week is I didn't think that was going to, I didn't think that would happen. But I'm putting Tua, if Trevor Lawrence doesn't exist, I'm definitely putting Tua.
If Tua doesn't exist, so now we're down to Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, and Derek Carr. Who do you want?
I got to go with Russell Wilson in that case. The guy is trying to get his feet wet with a new team. I'm gonna go because again, his numbers isn't bad and he doesn't turn it over. I think he's a leader. I think I'll put Russell Wilson in that spot. So Max, do you want to do like another process of elimination?
No, Brandon, you got it, man. My point is,
here's the process of elimination. You'll never be back on this show. How about that?
Oh, Brandon will be back every week. How dare you? Do you understand? Brandon Jacobs, for people who don't know, he's one of those dudes for New Yorkers, for Giants fans. He can't. If Brandon walks into a bar and I'm there, he ain't buying the drink. You understand what I'm saying? Giants fans feel very grateful to Brandon Jacobs, Eli Manning, Justin Tuck, Michael Strahan.
Brandon, I'm trying to be around you because Max never buys drinks for people.
Oh, will you stop?
Max, you don't realize that he shouldn't
have your cousin David Tyree a drink, I'll tell
Max,
you that much.
Max, you don't realize he shouldn't have been playing running back, though.
What do you think he should have been?
Man, he should have been a damn defensive tackle. A strong, swole one. He was so big and fast. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. You say that, I really, after my career was over, I really took a step back and I looked. I'm like, man, I should have played defensive end.
Right? Make some money.
You know what you would look like playing defense? It'd look crazy.
Brandon, we had enough defensive ends. We needed a running back.
I played defense my junior year in high school, and then that was it. And I only played like 3 games of it because then they started me. They started starting me at running back, 3 weeks into the season. So once I started starting running back, I didn't play any more defense.
The great Brandon Jacobs, ladies and gentlemen, 2-time Super Bowl champion.
And last appearance on KJM.
Who says Derek Carr might be the 15th best quarterback in football. We don't know. We could still go down the list. Thanks, Brandon.
All right, Brandon.
All right, baby.
You guys have a good one.
All right. Aaron Judge still looking for number 61. Is he pressing too hard?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Hitting in this era is more difficult than it's ever been.
Swing and a drive, deep left field,
the greatest thing that I've seen covering baseball by a hitter.
Well, I got to stay locked in and never really not try to think about it and do my job.
He's the best player this franchise has seen in a very long time.
High fly ball, deep left field. There it goes! See ya!
So Aaron Judge, not only chasing the home run record, Babe Ruth's of 60 in 154-game season. He has 2 games to hit 1 home run to pass that. He already has 60. He'd pass Ruth. Maris never did that. Then he has 9 games to pass Roger Maris to tie him with 61. That's 1 home run. To pass him with 2 home runs, that'd be 62. That'd be the record. He also is chasing a triple crown, leading in home runs and RBIs, and right there in batting average, going back and forth with the leaders. Guys, something caught my eye yesterday, a tweet by Bill James. Are you guys... Like, Bill James is the godfather of sabermetrics, of analytics. This analytical revolution across sports really started in baseball with Bill James more than anyone. Listen to this tweet. He had a huge influence in even the way I think. Like, in terms of comparative analysis, Historical Baseball Abstract, Volume 1, is one of the best books I ever read for comparative analysis. I'm serious. Great writing, too. Here's Bill James's tweet. Unfortunately, I am unable to celebrate the success of any Yankee. The reason the Red Sox won all those World Series all of a sudden, they hired Bill James as a consultant. That was the start of it. But I do have to grudgingly admit, listen to this, that Aaron Judge is perhaps the greatest player I have ever seen. Perhaps, I said, don't take it to the bank. Even the fact that he's contemplating that is incredible. A Yankee hater who cares about the analytics and actually put his eyeballs on players for 5-6 decades now thinks that he might be the best player ever. However, there's a lot on the line. Is Aaron Judge pressing too much right now? What, Key, Jay, you guys have both been in situations, I'm sure, chasing records or contracts or whatever it is, milestone, landmark, salary incentive, whatever it is. Can you take us through, Key, let's start with you, a situation where you were under that kind, you know, pressure to achieve something and it made it more difficult?
I would think so, right? But it was just, I wanted to do it with the team, so to speak. Individually, I was going to get it based on my team success.
What is it?
Whatever the numbers would be, incentives.
So an incentive to make a certain amount of money.
Incentive to make a certain amount of money, those sort of things. Because when you think about the records, I never was like, oh my God, I'm pressing. When I had a chance to, so I was on record pace when I was with Tampa Bay to break the reception record. At the time, I think it was held by Herman Moore or something like that. But I wasn't pressing. It was like, if it comes, it comes. If it's good, it's fine. But when it came to the money, and it was an incentive-laced situation. I'm playing for the Cowboys, and we're playing, getting ready to play the Giants in Giants Stadium. And before the game, Vinny Testaverde, who was the quarterback at the time, went around in the locker room asking about, hey, what do you need to get to? I don't remember what the number was, but it was like 1,000 yards or whatever. And you would pick, I was going to pick up $500,000. And it was only 44 yards I needed.
Oh,
I know, right? In 4 quarters, 44 yards. So, you know, I know call sheet. I got the call sheet right here. I'm studying it. Oh, I'll pick it up right here. I'll pick it up here. I'll pick it up there. And then I go out, and I break my ankle on that particular play in Giant Stadium. It snaps like a pretzel. I hear it. I pick up 22 yards on that particular play. I got 3.5 damn quarters to go to get there. You know, and
what was more painful, the physical pain of the ankle or the $500,000 with the little wings flying away?
Well, what was more painful is my head coach, Bill Parcells at the time, I had to have a scope anyway at the end of the season to clean some stuff out. Halftime Cubs, he walks in, I'm on the training table. He goes, what's wrong with him? He says, well, he broke his ankle, he's going to have surgery tomorrow. Good, then blankety blank get both things fixed and walked away. And that was painful. I'm like, say, man, the hell's wrong with you, coach?
My $500,000.
Yeah, give me my money. Jerry wasn't going to give it to me, though.
Of course not.
He came in after, oh, well, we're glad you're okay and you'll be fine and Dr. Cooper's
going to
take
care. Glad I got my $500,000.
I'm like, you still going to give me the incentives? Well, the salary cap doesn't allow us to, you know, it was just like.
Jay, what about you? You ever have a situation like that?
I never had something like that, but I have had a lot of situations where you start pressing about
things that you think are going to happen instead of just being like, the game was always easy for me when I got lost in the flow of the game, right? So like either for me, I had competitive. Somebody had to get me mad. If you got me mad, like if I got myself mad, I would play my best, right? But the moment you start pinpointing things that you want to go out and actually do, it never happens that way in sports. And that's the interesting thing for me about Aaron Judge here in baseball. There's so much time, these time gaps where you're not always moving. There's a lot of stoppage and action. There's a lot of waiting around, a lot of playing. It's so different than basketball or football where you're constantly moving. You can lose yourself in that flow. So for a guy like Aaron Judge to do what he's doing to get there, yeah, he's going to press because that's all people talk about every day. You have
not
time
just talk
to wait
about,
to think about.
Not just talk about. Jay, that's so interesting. The Yankees fans at Yankee Stadium are cheering for the Red Sox when they tie the game so that Judge can get another at-bat. The first place is wrapped up. The season's over. Yankees going to win the division. They're not going to have the best record in the league, but they're going to win the division. Yankee Stadium goes dead quiet. Judge is coming up. I'm flipping. Football game is on. Let me just make sure Judge isn't up. Let me make sure Judge is up.
Lights are on.
Everybody. So there is no way to lose yourself in the moment.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, one of the things the advice that I would give him, though, is just take a step back and don't pay attention. Just put up blinders. You put up blinders. Whatever you were doing before you got to 60, before you got to 50, before you got to 40, just put up the blinders.
You see, that's what I love, though. This is what sports
is,
right?
Put up the blinders. When you at the plate,
it's like silence. Coaches
that's
tell you.
All you do.
Or
I think it's
you know,
easier for
people,
you than for
we've
others.
We've had people literally say that on TV. Just go out there and be yourself.
Yes.
Right? They say that. But when you get out there, it's hard to all of a sudden when you're thinking about, well, what was myself? What was I? See? Then you're becoming way over analytical. You're not
Don't
losing
think of a pink elephant. Now
That's
you're thinking of a
saying.
Pink elephant,
you
right?
You naturally like, go to that place where you're becoming analytical and thinking about, what was I doing before? How relaxed was I? Was my shoulder? You start doing that to yourself.
Yeah, because you're pressing. But my advice to him would be just whatever got you to where you're at.
No, my advice would be based on that, guys. When he started hitting home runs again, he's very pull conscious this year because it actually helped him. He was hitting the ball the other way too often, right? Short yet right field porch. He's an opposite field hitter at times. He started going the other way again. He was in a home run drought, just started hitting him, taking it the other way, and that got him back in his flow. But I got to tell you, he's still taking walks. He's still getting base hits. He's just pressing on the home run. The Progressive MLB Snapshot is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Meantime, Kyrie Irving says he gave up $100 million to be unvaccinated.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's like in any sport, you got to stay healthy. They might got something. If they don't stay healthy, they ain't got nothing. They got LeBron James, right? I mean, that's the bottom line, and a healthy Anthony Davis will take you a long ways.
That's why the deeper teams.
It'd be nice for you to talk into the mic.
That's why the deeper teams are, in the NBA at least, are doing better now, right? Because the teams that are reliant on the two superstars, something happens to one of them, you're in trouble.
So yesterday, Anthony Davis literally said to the press that, hey, we're going into the season as if we're underdogs. We have a chip on our shoulder. I have no problem with that. The greatest players in the game of basketball, Michael Jordan looked at himself as an underdog because he always had a chip on his shoulder. Same with Kobe Bryant. The most competitive dudes always found something to be angry about in order to get the best version of themselves. This team should be angry. They should be angry. They didn't make the playoffs last year. They've been bounced early in years before. And with LeBron James, AD, and Russ, you should have some aggression.
Doesn't it feel like the reason I bring up the depth is it feels like the model is changing a bit in the NBA, partly because everyone is so good now that the gap between the stars and the rotation players maybe isn't what it once was because they have so many multidimensional players who are starters in the league. But it seems to me like teams like the Celtics, the Bucks, who develop over time, develop lots of interesting pieces, then if something happens to one of them, they're okay. But a team like the Lakers that's going to push their chips to the middle of the table on two guys, it doesn't work the same way.
The Bucks weren't okay when they lost Middleton.
Yeah.
They were not okay.
They were still okay.
They couldn't get over the hump.
They didn't miss the playoffs.
But when they lost Middleton, they had already basically clinched the playoff spot.
Yeah.
Right? When they lost around that time. So it wasn't the Lakers lost Anthony Davis. When they lost Anthony Davis first, the Lakers were already rolling. Then they lost AD.
That's true.
And it just kind of fell apart. Then LeBron got hurt.
But also an older player who's injury prone is, you know, you could say.
Who's an older player injury prone?
Anthony Davis.
Man, Anthony Davis ain't old.
Well, he's over 30. And he's injury prone.
I didn't say he wasn't injury prone.
But that's not like being.
Well, I said he's not old.
That's not being basketball like 24.
Max said old.
And older. I said
like
older player. Older player.
He's still not in basketball years an older player, right?
He's not young.
He's nine years in the league.
He's in
How old is Anthony Davis right now?
He's 9 years.
Yeah, but that's a veteran
he's
with some 29. miles.
He's 29.
Okay, 29.
That's not old.
No, I'm not saying. I didn't say old. Older. He's not like on his first deal.
Yeah, but you made it sound like when you say older.
Like he's LeBron's age.
Like he's LeBron.
Well, when I was thinking older, I was thinking more of LeBron. But like you have LeBron who's old and no spring chicken.
Now Kawhi seems old. Kawhi just walks old.
Yeah,
but AD ain't old, man.
But no, I didn't say old.
But older.
In other words, he's had multiple contracts already. He's a veteran.
Yeah,
he's played a lot of years.
Yeah, you know what you're
coming back to place.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance.
Debate it.
Debate
Check
what?
Us out on the app, by the way. Go to the app, probably on your phone already. You mm-hmm. go to the lower right-hand corner, mm-hmm. right? Click on the thing, more. You know, you scroll down to listen live.
You know
we're right there.
That, Max?
What's that?
Popping your collar.
Pop your collar. Do whatever you do best. See, do you know anything about that? KD, the Nets, KD and the Nets addressed this offseason drama, guys. You want to hear from KD on still being in Brooklyn?
Ooh, I do.
Our very own Nick Friedell asked a question. What do you say? What do you look like you want to say something, Jay?
Well, because I hope somebody asked Kevin Durant yesterday. You know, how Steve Nash and Sean Marks were doing considering he wanted both of them fired.
Let's listen to Nick's question and Kevin Durant's answer.
First, are you surprised you're still here?
No. I know I'm that good that you're just not going to give me away. So that's one thing I did appreciate about Sean and Jode is like, you're too great for us to give you away. Just that easy, that simple. So I get that. I know who I am.
Ooh, I like that, okay. though.
Mm-hmm. All right. I respect that.
No, ain't nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah. I thought you was getting ready to give me some heat.
I mean, that's what we were saying that the whole time. Yo, you just don't give that dude away, man. That dude's special. Just because he don't want to be there, we're going to have to work through it.
You know, it's a much different situation. But, like, I think of Saquon, where people are like, oh, you got to get rid of him. I'm like, you're going to get the least value possible for a guy who, if he's healthy, is going to be great, right? Why would you trade a commodity at the lowest point of its value when he could win you a championship?
Well, the reason I would have traded Kevin Durant is if because he said he didn't want to be there. That's why you would get rid of him. That's why I would have did it.
Right.
I would have moved on from him. I would have got the right price, first of all. But
they weren't meeting the
That's
price.
What I'm saying.
But at some point, I would have had to – because, see, the way that I operate and think about things is if somebody doesn't want to be somewhere, he's asked me to fire people, get rid of the coach, get rid of the general manager, and he doesn't want to be here, what is it going to be like walking through the door, seeing these people – interacting with these people, like what is that going to be?
At least
like?
You know where you stand.
My thing though is
but
like
that's,
this,
man.
It would be.
But I
turmoil.
Like Kevin Durant.
It would be hard, but I would fight it all the way into the end.
Like
if I were the team, it's like Ben Simmons to a degree. It's like okay, well this is what we gonna fight. We gonna keep going until we get the right value in return. We'll keep finding you. Everybody knows what time it is. If you don't want to be here. We'll keep dealing
I think they would have traded him though if they could have got the right value.
Yeah, they would,
yeah.
But they couldn't.
They couldn't.
Yeah. And by the way, I will bring up the great Dr. Jerry Buss, late great Dr. Buss, greatest owner by far in the history of American team sports. Kobe Bryant wanted to be traded to the Clippers. Dr. Buss went to him and said, Kobe, you are a 5-carat diamond. I am not trading you for 5 1-carat diamonds. I'm just not going to do it. Kobe, who couldn't understand that, right? You got to get – it's very difficult to get equal value for a guy as good as KD.
No, but KD changed his mind too, though. He didn't stand up and just continue to pound and say, I want out, I don't care. I want out, I want out, I want out. He eventually was like, okay, we can meet.
So I wonder if Kevin Durant was really close to leaving or was it about getting Kyrie a longer-term deal?
Thought that from the very beginning. Uh-huh. Why you really want to mess with Kyrie's money when you know that KD is his dude? How close was Kyrie to leaving? Listen to this.
Were you ever close to something else, somewhere else? Were you close to being gone?
Yeah. There were options, but not many. I tell you that because, again, this stigma, whether or not I want to play, whether or not I'm going to be committed to the team.
So, obviously, we're talking about the Brooklyn Nets with KD and Kyrie.
I mean, he goes on to answer talking about there was a stigma that people projected about me that I didn't like to show up for work, that I didn't like to play because I've dealt with injuries and then my stance on COVID, and which I think is just erroneous, frankly. I think he's one of the most talented players there is in the game. I think he drew a line in the sand this year. He paid the repercussions, right? You didn't hear a lot from him talking about it. Like that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's he's true. Allowed to play. And I think you're going to see a different Kyrie.
Look, what you have to respect about Kyrie, even if I think it's foolish, the difference between him and Aaron Rodgers is Kyrie did not try to have it both ways. Kyrie said what you just said, Jay. Kyrie's like, look, I'm doing this for whatever reason. This is the price I have to pay in order to do this. I'm willing to do it. Boom. Didn't try to get away with anything. Wasn't trying to be slick. Nothing. Just did it. And you do respect that part of someone's personality that's willing to pay the price. At what price is that exactly? If you want to put a dollar sign on it, listen to this.
I gave up 4 years, 100-something million, deciding to be unvaccinated. And that was the decision because contract, get vaccinated or be unvaccinated. And there's a level of uncertainty of your future, whether you're going to be in this league, whether you're going to be on this team. So I had to deal with that real life circumstance of losing my job for this decision. So I was dealing with all of those emotions while trying to secure my future for my family.
So, by the way, when he says $100 million that he gave up, I take that to mean the difference between the contract he eventually signed and what he would have signed had he been vaccinated. That difference to me, I think he's saying, is $100 million plus.
Yeah, he gave up $100 million. For the line that he drew in the sand. But he could complete it, though, because if he plays well this year, he's still going to make over $100 million. Like, he's in the last year of his deal. So if he plays out of his tail, which we've seen even in the short interim Kyrie do last year, that's who Kyrie is, he's still going to make that same money. But I hear exactly what he said. I mean, he's like, look, I put my money where my mouth was.
Here is Kyrie on the way he's been treated because he's unvaccinated.
I didn't appreciate how me being unvaccinated all of a sudden came to be a stigma within my career that I don't want to play or I'm willing to give up everything to be a voice for the voiceless. And which I will stand on here and say that that wasn't the only intent that I had, was to be in a voice of the voiceless. It was to stand on something that was going to be bigger than myself and that I was going to understand probably far into the future. You know, I don't know when.
By the way, I've always maintained that Kyrie is a guy who wants to be a part of something bigger than himself. And he just admitted right then, it's not only to be what he calls a voice for the voiceless. That's how he frames not getting vaccinated. But also that it's a larger issue than just him and his basketball career. That seems to be important to him. But, Jay, it's one of the reasons why, as a team, I'd be nervous. Wait a minute. Kyrie, if you want to be something, a part of something bigger than yourself and bigger than basketball,
what's
maybe.
What's an example other than the pandemic that he wanted to be a part of something bigger?
No, it's just I wasn't surprised when he did. And I wouldn't be surprised if he wanted to again.
I'm just curious, like this theme that he always wants to be a part of something bigger than himself.
He just said.
Yeah, I know, but that's applicable to the pandemic. I wonder where else that is applicable to.
Well, there was a lot of stuff that happened during the pandemic, but it was very – he George always
Floyd,
struck
– I mean
– He struck – yeah, absolutely.
That was black people in general.
Yes.
Color people.
So there's an issue of something bigger than himself. Yep. Vaccination, there's an issue of something bigger than himself. Those are two right there. And he admitted to it. That's something that's important to him. I believe that's what he just said. It's how I interpret it. Right. Hey, we got to get back to the NFL, of course. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.